Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation and then pray. Let me read this. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born instead as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God has elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me pray real quick. God, we thank you for your word, and particularly as we look for a moment together at Philippians chapter 2, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts. As we celebrate Christmas, as we go to have dinner tonight, as we open presents and spend time with our families tomorrow, we need your word. We need your presence. We need your truth and your strength. And Lord, just I pray that you would help this to be clear to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Four quick things. Looking at this passage, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, four quick things. Number one, they all start with a C, so they're easy to remember. But number one is creator. And that's how this starts out. We see Jesus as fully God. Jesus as God, creator. Second, the cradle and the cross, the humility of God that we see in Philippians 2 and in the gospel. And third, the crown. The exaltation of the resurrected Christ. We see that as well. And lastly, a Christian mindset or a Christian spirit. You know, there's a lot about the Christmas spirit. Well, we want to look here at the Christian spirit in Philippians 2. So first, the Creator. What you see in Philippians 2, this is a famous passage, is you see the V. Okay? You see the V. Can anybody do this with their fingers? I'm just checking. Some people can, some people can't. Can you make the V? Who can make the V? I see a real strong V back there. That's Pastor Dan. Anybody else? Anybody else can make the V? It's okay. Hold it up if you can. You got to hold it up kind of a decrepled V. That's okay. The V is here in Philippians 2. It is like a roller coaster with a huge dip. It starts high. It goes crazy low. And then it finishes higher than before. It's the V of sort of, it starts with Christ. We see him as creator, exalted for eternity past, always praised and honored and glorified as God. So that's verse 6. It says he was in the form of God. It says he had equality with God. We read John 1. It talks about that the Word in the beginning was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was made by this Word. That's Jesus. He's the Creator. He's exalted. So you could imagine standing on top of the tallest building in Raleigh and jumping off on purpose in a safe way to land on the biggest trampoline you can imagine, and then inevitably, there's no way you could just sort of land and stop, right? Inevitably, you would get a huge bounce and you would go higher, possibly, than when you were at first. And it is a similar dynamic here in Philippians 2. Christ starts out in verse 6. Paul presents him to us as he is, as creator, as God. But it says in verse 7 and verses 8, we see the humble path that Christ takes. The cradle and the cross. You know, really, the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of God coming and taking on human flesh, is maybe the most important miracle in the Bible. So much makes sense of the Christian message if it's true, and so much doesn't if it's not true. Of course he fed the 5,000 if Jesus was God. Of course his death had a significant saving impact on all of human race if he was God, if he was God with us. So you see how you can sort of backtrack all the way to the Christmas moment. It's profoundly significant. It's important. Perhaps the most important. So we have the Creator, but then the pathway of humility, the cradle and the cross. Paul says it this way in Philippians 2, which is what we read. He made himself nothing. Even though he was in equality with God, he did not see it as something to be grasped or clung to, rights to be exploited and capitalized upon and insisted for, but as something to be set aside. Says he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant in the likeness of men. It says he emptied himself. What does this mean? The cradle and the cross, this pathway of amazing humility. It's not God minus. He doesn't become less God. He doesn't empty himself of divine attributes or of the power of God. He sets aside his esteemed status and glory and position in heaven. He empties himself of his rights to be praised. And he humbles himself. And he descends to earth. It's a profound thing if it's true. If it didn't happen, Merry Christmas, let's go open our presents. If it did, let's pause. It matters. It's a big deal. Jesus said in John 17, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. So baby Jesus in a manger is not God minus. He is God plus human nature. One person, two natures, fully God, fully man, the pathway of humility. It's not just a step down into a manger, though that is remarkable and humbling enough to keep us celebrating Christmas for eternity, but it's a step even lower to the cross, to die an undignified death, a criminal's death. So it says in verse 8 and 7, it says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Said another way in another place in the Bible, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. So it's not just a story, it's not just a history, but it's a message to us that Christ came, that he died, not as a fact in history only, but as a payment for our sins. So really, you see all of this. God, while he was rich, he became poor. This is the V, right? This is the V. This is the trampoline. This is the roller coaster. And so, just like you could not keep yourself on that trampoline or stay at the bottom of a roller coaster or whatever, we see in verses 9 through 11, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we have the crown. The already Christ is wearing this crown, and the not yet. We will all see it, and all will bow, and all will confess. Everyone will praise Christ, it says. Some, because it's been their song, and now they get to sing it without any faith necessary because they see Christ. Some, it has not been their song. And they will miserably acknowledge it was true. So, you have the Creator. You have the humble path of the cradle and the cross. You have the crown. And lastly, the Christian spirit, or the Christmas spirit, or the Christian mindset. Philippians 2, just to be faithful to what we're looking at tonight, is not just the Christmas story, it's not just the V, but it's written to a church. And what are we to do with a passage like this? How are we to apply it? Well, Paul has an idea for that. In fact, it was in verse 5, I don't know if you saw it, but there's a mindset we're to have as Christians that is exactly what we see here in Christ. In fact, this passage started out with this statement: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I'm going to come back to that. There are five perspectives on the cross. We've been talking about the cross. Five quick perspectives. One, the perspective of God the Father. Just imagine looking in a room with a cross in the middle of it, and there are five windows, like there are windows in here. There are five perspectives on the cross. The perspective of God the Father, he sees it as atonement. He sees it as the payment that satisfies his right anger toward our sin. There's the perspective of Christ. He sees it as obedience to the will of the Father. There's the perspective, third, of Satan, who sees it as defeat. There's the perspective of sin, that sees it as the answer and the solution. And last, there's our perspective. And Paul gives it to us here in Philippians 2, verse 5. And our perspective is to see it as our example, to see it as our mindset that we ought to have. That's the Christian spirit. That's the Christmas spirit. This idea of do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. God forgive us how we haven't done this. Have this mind among yourselves, which was yours, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then it goes into that hymn we've been studying. So let me close in prayer.